Welcome, everybody, into the Calling It Podcast, another episode, the first episode of February, recording on February 4th, just shy of the 7 o'clock hour. My name is Alex Barth. We are powered, as always, by CLNS Media. Alex Lebowitz is back as the co-host after his week in Miami. Lebowitz, welcome back from the Super Bowl.
Thanks for having me back. It's good to be here. It was a fun week down in Miami. Great time with Jake Asman, Cody Stutes, and Jose Partida and the crew. But it's good to be back home. It was hectic. It's very hectic. It's nice to be back into the rhythm of things.
So before we actually get to the game, you texted me, I think Wednesday or Thursday, that you had a story that you absolutely had to share on the show. You wouldn't even tell me what it was. I still don't know what it is outside of the fact it involves Deion Sanders. So, I mean, let's go. I got to hear the story.
Okay. I don't want to hype it up too much, but we were walking into the Miami Beach Convention Center, which is where Radio Row was held. Deion Sanders, he's kind of in and out. He does a lot of media for the NFL. He does the media night, which was at Marlins Park this year. So I saw him a few times. I figured this was an opportune time to go up to him. He was exiting the security area. There wasn't really people around him. Actually, there were. There were about four or five people that he was dancing for. They had cameras out, and he was doing a whole performance for these people, being, Deion Sanders, the personality. It was a lot of fun to watch. So he exits that group of people. He's walking out. No one's around him. I get my phone out of my pocket. I said, "Hey, Deion, can I get a quick selfie?" And without missing a beat, he has sunglasses on, the Deion Sanders smile, sticks his arm out like I'm a gunner on the punt team, and goes, "Gotta go," while pushing my shoulder, and proceeds to walk out of the security area. And right behind me, watching the whole thing, is a friend of the show, Jake Asman, laughing like an absolute maniac at me getting rejected, as hard as you can get rejected by a Hall of Famer. So it was a lot of fun. I got a story out of it, though.
Well, that reminds me. So last year I was trying to talk to Danny Amendola, and I just saw him walking through Radio Row, and I tried to grab him, do a quick interview on the phone. And we start walking, and somebody behind him goes, "Hey, Danny Woodhead. And he just bailed on me to go yell at that guy. And he never came back. He was like so pissed somebody called him Danny Woodhead. It was unreal.
Yeah, but you didn't get rejected in like a conversation with him. But that's awesome though. I think that's better because at least he got the interaction. He's there. He's and you see him get angry. That's fun. But
I guess we'll see. He might be back in New England next year. I have to ask him about it. Hey, do you remember that time some guy called you Danny Woodhead at the Super Bowl 2 years ago?
And then you ran at him like a maniac. Yeah, I'll say this. It would not have been as bad as no one watched it. Like when I was a sophomore in high school, I still remember this very vividly. There were these steps outside one of like the cafeteria, and I was walking to the academic building, and there were no railings. It was after like a fresh rain and it freezed over. I went from the top step to the bottom step, wind completely knocked out of me. I get up like the Undertaker. I look around, nobody sees it.
I was like,
thank God. And no one saw that. I don't have to actually be embarrassed by this. It just happened. With this, Jake Asman was right over my shoulder.
He won't let you forget it.
He watched the life leave my eyes and at the hands of Deion Sanders. So it was fun, and I know he'll never let me live it down. Still worth it. The week was still worth it.
I bet.
Yeah. So.
All right. Let's get to the game in Lebowitz. Let me tell you, I feel, and you remember my prediction from 2 weeks ago, I feel so freaking vindicated on every single belief I've ever held in life after watching that game, because it was exactly what I wanted. It was exactly what I expected. And that's what we got. You had Kyle Shanahan and Andy Reid punting clock decisions back and forth to each other. You had Jimmy Garoppolo coming nowhere near big enough, ending up nowhere near big enough for the moment. You had the Chiefs giving up an early lead only to come back and take it. You had Travis Kelce bitching out but still somehow turning into the hero. That was just like sometimes, and this happens to people who work in sports, even the most confident of us. Sometimes you have moments where you're like, do I really know what I'm talking about? Like, I think I know what I'm talking about, but you hear other people talk and it just seems so above your head. And then you just have a moment where you're so right that you just know this is what you're meant to be doing. And if this sounds like a victory lap, it's because it is. I don't think I've been more right about a sporting event in the last 2 or 3 years than I was about that Super Bowl. I don't think I've been more right about a player in the last 2 or 3 years than I have been about Jimmy Garoppolo all season long. So consider this my victory lap. I loved that game because it, in my mind, it was a total win for myself. That's ultimately all I care about if the Patriots aren't in the game. But I enjoy the hell out of it. We can get into the X's and O's in a second, but oh boy, was I right. And that was awesome.
I think from a Patriot perspective, this kind of validates the Patriots keeping Tom Brady instead of Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yes, sir.
He proved that he is a middle of the pack quarterback at best. And he's not someone who can make plays when it matters.
Let me ask you this. You plug Ryan Tannehill in that game, you get the same result?
Yeah, 100%.
You plug Blake Bortles in that game, you get the same result?
Yep.
Plug Jared Goff in that game, you get the same result?
Yeah, probably.
There you go.
Yeah. He didn't make plays when it mattered. He had opportunities. I mean, was it Emmanuel Sanders? He had wide open, and he overthrew him. I mean, you know, that's a throw that Patrick Mahomes is going to make. I know that much. That's a throw that I would have confidence in Tom Brady making. I know that much.
Well, he missed Greg Kittle. Not missed with the throw. Like, Greg Kittle was just running open on 4 or 5 plays in that second half. And Garoppolo never even looked at him. Evan Lazar is a great threat on that. He broke it all down today. But, I mean, forget not making the throws. He couldn't make the reads. He couldn't figure out who to throw the ball to.
So this is validation for, I think, you know, really Robert Kraft, who vetoed that trade.
Yeah.
And it's something that personally, I hate to say it, I'm kind of happy with the result because I felt that way from the start. And there were a lot of people who looked at where the 49ers are and gave too much credit to a guy who only threw 8 passes in the NFC Championship game.
Yep.
So this was kind of, you know, how you'd expect a game like this to go down if you really had Jimmy Garoppolo in the camp he belongs in. Patrick Mahomes, just going to him real quick, what a phenomenal postseason. I know he had 2 interceptions, he had a fumble, but to come back as many times as he did, he's the best quarterback in the NFL. He solidified it. You know, you got to be happy for Andy Reid as well. But overall, the better player, the better quarterback won his team the game in that one.
And you know what? It was kind of the flip. And this is what we saw from Garoppolo, at least in New England, right? Remember, he used to go out and ball out in the preseason. And then he got those limited regular season tries. And he was good against Arizona. But then he struggled against Miami before getting hurt. Garoppolo was the better quarterback for 3 quarters of that game. He was. Patrick Mahomes did not play, and granted, his offensive line didn't help, and that was a huge part of it. Patrick Mahomes did not play well for the first 45 minutes of that game. Jimmy Garoppolo did. But once it mattered, once it actually mattered, once it came time to win or lose the game, one guy elevated, one guy faltered. And that is why Patrick Mahomes is a Super Bowl champion. He is a Super Bowl MVP. I don't know. I would have given it to Damian Williams. Mm-hmm. I thought he played an outstanding game. I really did. Mahomes was going to get it no matter what happened. But I thought, really, it should have been Andy Reid. They should make coaches eligible. They should. They should make coaches eligible for the Super Bowl MVP. That game, look, you can trash Jimmy Garoppolo all you want. At the end of the day, he is what he is. It's not like he played so far below his talent level. He just played below what everybody thinks his talent level is. I think you got as much out of him as you could possibly expect in that game. And again, Mahomes was great for that fourth quarter, but a lot of those plays were set up earlier on by play calling. That game was decided by the coaches above anything else, above Garoppolo, above Mahomes, above anybody. That game was decided by the coaches. Andy Reid was excellent. Andy Reid called the game of his life. And Kyle Shanahan should probably look into a career in real estate. After I'm serious, 46-0 in the fourth quarter in his last 2 Super Bowls. 46-0 in the fourth quarter. The guy can't look. I understand it. He's excellent at recognizing talent. As a conceptual mind, he's outstanding. The guy can't call plays. He can't manage a clock. He can't do it. Give him a job as that new thing. Teams hire passing game coordinators to assist the offense coordinator. Like, maybe that's where he belongs. But the guy can't get it done. The guy cannot get it done. And don't tell me, oh, Andy Reid eventually figured it out. It took him 21 years. In the modern NFL, you're not going to get 21 years to figure this out.
I mean, granted, they made it to the Super Bowl. It's what, his third year in San Francisco. That's a pretty quick turnaround on a franchise that was like 4-12 last year. You got to give him some credit, but game management is clearly his biggest flaw.
He made it as an offensive coach led by his defense.
Sure.
So I honest and I am.
It's John Lynch that might that should give be given most of the credit, right?
And Robert Saleh. Saleh, mm-hmm. defensive coordinator. I am shocked he did not get hired. That guy may be the best coordinator in the NFL right now. I am floored nobody hired him. That seemed like a no-brainer to me. He should absolutely be hired next time around. Hell, if there's some, you know, Red Sox-Astros type scenario where a team needs to hire a new head coach in May, that should be the guy. He was excellent. And ultimately, I know they lost, but again, he maintained Patrick Mahomes for three quarters. He was great all year. That's the guy to me. Not Shanahan. That's the mastermind.
It's 21 unanswered in that fourth quarter. It just was exceptional. And you point to that 3rd and 15 and the 44-yard completion to Tyreek Hill. And a lot of that was because, you know, Mahomes extended the play. He had a lot of time and he made the play. I mean, most importantly. So you can't fault the defense. They kept that team in the game for a while. And you look at this Kansas City Chiefs defense, you know, San Francisco should put up more than 20 points on them, or at least score in the fourth quarter and try to halt their momentum a little bit. But just going back to Andy Reid, I don't think I've ever seen an entire country, an entire fan base that is the NFL fan base root for somebody harder than people were rooting for Andy Reid, or maybe not rooting for him, but happy for him to finally, you know, get into the promised land and win his first Super Bowl. You know, a very likable guy. I think for the most part, obviously there are questionable decisions made in the past, but overall it was nice to see somebody who is so widely respected by the football community finally get his ring after an already, you know, very stellar career.
How long until the media turns it around, right? Remember, the Patriots were likable once, and Tom Brady was a hero once. And I'm wondering how long until the narrative shifts. Before we move on from the Super Bowl, Lebowitz, you got any thoughts on that halftime show?
It was good. It was, you know, they're attractive women. Let's just put that out there. They're very attractive women. I do feel like this was a halftime show meant for nostalgic 50-year-old men. Because this is, you know, this is like late 90s, early 2000s, big time nostalgia for a lot of people. I remember, you know, watching them when I was really young. So it was fine. It was good. The music was all lip synced, and I'm not a huge fan of J-Lo or Shakira in that department anyway. But the performance was phenomenal. J-Lo being 50 years old, being able to do some of the stuff she did, I figured they should have padded her up at halftime, put her out there. She is in exceptional shape. So it was a solid performance. It wasn't the best ever, but it also was still good and definitely wasn't bad. Overreaction, so.
No, I mean, I think that, you know, 32 owners saw that and just get ready for another 10 years of dad rock, which I'm not complaining about. Like, it wasn't quite Janet Jackson, but I don't know. Let me pull them up real quick. Odd Shark had the odds for the Super Bowl halftime show next year.
Yeah, it's like Taylor Swift
was the favorite, which isn't a bad bet. But I'll tell you this, Foo Fighters at plus 1,200. It feels like a Foo Fighters kind of year. They're going to overcorrect. Remember, we had Paul McCartney after Janet Jackson, right? And then Bruce Springsteen was in there. The Who was in there. Tom Petty was in there. Just a bunch of dad rock. That's what's coming.
Yeah, and I hope you're right, because, you know, I love live music at these events. I think it's horrendous when you get, like, you know, Big Boy out there in a Cadillac. And I love Outkast, but it just doesn't translate as well. I want rock and roll. I want, you know, Prince. I want Prince out there doing a guitar solo.
Not even that. I think it should be local. Like, that's part
which
of
made, which is why this made sense.
Right. It was in Miami. It made sense. Next year's Tampa. I don't know anything about Tampa Bay. I don't think anybody famous has ever come to Tampa Bay. So put whoever you want up there next year. But
no. 2020. You're going to get bad country. You're going to get country rock, which is the worst type of music, in my opinion.
False. But I thought on that in a second. But 2022 in LA, that damn well better be Snoop Dogg. That it better be Snoop Dogg. Get the Tupac hologram out, whatever you got to do.
Oh, my God.
That should be L.A. And then I think the year after that, I'm blanking on the year after that. But, like, for instance,
might be Vegas or Dallas or Vegas or one of
the – if it's Vegas, it'll be Imagine Dragons, obviously.
Are they from Vegas?
Yeah.
Okay. I hate them,
They were plus 2,000 odds for next year for Odd Shark. The one other one, Garth Brooks at plus 2,000. Friends in Low Places at the Super Bowl. that would hit different. That should be the only song he does. He should just go up, do like the first two verses, whatever, the third verse, and then you know how the chorus just sort of repeats until it doesn't anymore?
Yeah.
He should just repeat the chorus to Friends in Low Places for 10 minutes, and that's the halftime show. And you know what, Lebowitz? It would be amazing.
Yeah, I don't want that at all. I'm not a Garth Brooks fan. I hate Garth Brooks.
You're pretty drunk at that point watching the game. I would hope the Patriots aren't in it. I want the Patriots to be in it, but if they're not, it would be nice because you get like at that point, halftime, you have a good buzz going, just everybody up singing. I need it, Lebowitz. How about a little Night Moves? How about Seeger?
Oh, Seeger. Like, that is my dream. And you know this. You're trying to put this right in my wheelhouse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Seeger being there. The Eagles. Imagine the Eagles doing a halftime show.
Recently? I'm thinking of Tom Petty.
The Eagles need to do Billy Joel.
Billy Joel. I thought Billy Joel was on here.
He might have done it.
It was before. Elton John.
Why can't we get Elton John, Billy Joel, Bruce Springsteen? I'm not even a Bruce Springsteen fan. I'd want him there over a lot of these other names. Foo Fighters would be exceptional. We already saw the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Red Hot Chili Peppers already did it.
They did it. Yeah. And
you want to go with the odds? You tell me. 1 out of 10. What you would think. Taylor Swift, +500.
You see, I figured she'd already done it before. She'd be great. I'm not a Taylor Swift fan, but that makes sense. That'd be she'd be 10.
They lean totally into the pop star thing.
She's a draw. She's a huge draw. It makes too much sense not to put her up there.
Adele, +800.
I like Adele. I'll give that
time of the Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah. I want her to belt it out.
No. Kills the mood. Drake, +800.
I think that could be interesting simply because of the people that would go on with Drake. I think it would be a wide array. So I think that I put that in the 7 range.
Jay-Z +900.
We already had Beyonce. You already had one of them. You don't need both.
Rihanna +900.
That would be great because you know she would put J-Lo to shame. Yeah, I said it.
Right. No, it would be like a better version of the other night. They have Queen on here, but I'm going to skip that one because, you know, it's not Queen anymore.
Yeah, no, it's Adam Lambert.
Ariana Grande +1400, hard pass.
Yeah, do not need that. Thank you, next.
Right. Billie Eilish, same thing. Yeah. Hard pass, get out of here.
She put me to sleep. She is she even talented? She probably is, and I'm probably giving her a bad rap right now.
I don't see it.
She makes me want to take a nap every time I hear her on the radio. It's brutal.
Bon Jovi +1600. Hell yeah.
Bon Jovi he's yeah.
So not only here's why I would love Bon Jovi, not just because it would be a decent show, but do you know how hard Bill Belichick would work to get to that Super Bowl?
He'd work to get out of it so we could watch the halftime.
No. He would want to win the Bon Jovi Super Bowl, though. That you would never see the Patriots go all in like you would for a Bon Jovi halftime show Super Bowl.
He's going up to players. You know who's doing the halftime show this year? It's Bon Jovi. We got to make it. And that's the selling point. That would be his speech before that'd be like the equivalent the day before the Super Bowl. That'd be the equivalent to the Philadelphia Inquirer parade route before the first Eagles Super Bowl. Okay, I can see it.
I'm all in on Bon Jovi. Speed it up here. Bieber +1600.
It would make sense. I mean, he's a big draw, and he'd probably do a decent job, right? I don't want him personally, but
Canadians. I don't know. We had Drake, we had Bieber. Lizzo +1600.
Ugh, no.
I mean, that's going to be interesting. It's going to happen eventually, too. You know it is.
Of course.
Like that Lizzo +1600, if you're just trying to like make money, I actually think that especially maybe not this year, the LA one, I think there's pretty good odds of that.
I think a big factor too is like the meme, the meme and GIF potential. Like
in terms of how likely it is or how good it is.
Like I think that's something they probably can like how viral will this go? Like we had the Shakira doing the thing and that was hilarious. Well,
here's the thing, the reason they went away from the dad rock is the dads are watching the Super Bowl anyway. Now the last 10 years, they've been using a halftime show to try to draw a crowd that wouldn't otherwise watch the Super Bowl, right? Lady Gaga, Bruno Mars, Beyonce, Shakira. So you want to talk about drawing a crowd that's not going to watch Super Bowl. Lizzo's a pretty good get if that's what you're trying to do.
Oh, sure. Yeah, she would get people to tune in. But I think so with the Eagles, you know, maybe not quite as much.
But they're already tuning in.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like,
It is calculated, but just throw us a bone. You know, one for you, one for me. That
Thank
type
you.
of thing.
Exactly. So speaking of which, Luke Bryan plus 1600.
You see, I'm not a country guy, so I don't like it.
Luke Bryan would be okay. I'd rather see Eric Church. He did halftime on Thanksgiving 1 year. It was awesome. Post Malone will never happen. Never.
No.
All right.
I don't want.
Last one here. Metallica plus 1800.
Oh my God! Yes, that's the number one choice because they would kill it. They would absolutely kill it.
I feel like it has to be in the right city, though. You can't, like, you couldn't have Metallica, not this year. You can't have Metallica in Tampa Bay.
Have them in Vegas, dude.
Vegas or New Orleans.
Vegas or New Orleans would be great. Do an overseas game. Bring them over there and have Metallica rock.
No, God, put that idea in Roger Goodell's head. It's the Jaguars over there twice a year. Freaking 9 a.m. starts. All right. We're well over what I want to talk about. We got to get to the NBA real quick. Couple of thoughts. Trade deadline's coming up on Thursday. And Lebowitz, let me tell you what. The NBA teams that just signed stupid contracts for the sake of it, they're finally getting their comeuppance. I feel like it's been a super quiet deadline, not a lot of rumors, not a lot of drama. And I think that, you know, you look at the contract that Kevin Love is on, you look at the contract Clint Capella is on, you look at the contract that Steven Adams is on, Andre Drummond, these contracts are so hard to get out of. And I think in the past, you had teams sign players to these grandiose deals just kind of under the assumption that, oh, when we want to get out of it, some team will bail us out of it. Some team that's trying to tank will bail us out of this contract. And nobody's bailing them out. Nobody's bailing the teams out of bad contracts this year. And I love that. The NBA has gotten way more competitive this year than it's been in the past, and it's only good for the league. So I am all in on this kind of NBA trade deadline.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're going to see, you know, these markets go and ebbs and flow, and it seems like a lot of these teams have bit off more than they can chew. I think this is a good opportunity for a little Danny Ainge appreciation, personally, because he has made some really good deals over the past couple of years, from signing Marcus Smart to, what was it, 12-13 annual, to the deal he just signed Jaylen Brown to. Looking ahead, Jason Tatum's the guy that they need to lock up, obviously, and he's going to get max money in all likelihood. But I think if you're a Celtics fan, you have to have confidence in the way that Ainge has gone about this. He is obviously one of the top executives in the NBA. And I think this trend that you're seeing of teams stuck with bad contracts is a perfect example of you know, how good of a job he's doing relatively.
Yeah, absolutely. And it shows you the Celtics are in good shape right now. It shows you exactly why the Celtics are in good shape. And I hope they're not stupid and bring on a big contract like a Capella. You know, if they want to go out and get a guy like an Ish Smith, who's on like a $7 million deal, fine. But you're going to have to pay Jason Tatum coming up. You still have Kemba Walker's contract. It makes me happy with where the Celtics are right now. One more NBA note. They released the contestants for the skills contest the night before the All-Star game. It's all well and good. But the dunk contest. The dunk contest, the level was when we were kids, was awesome. It was, you know, must watch television. And yes, some of it is, a lot of the good ideas have been taken, and that is fair, but they've been messing with the format, and it just keeps getting worse and worse. Good players won't get in it, and now they're adding a layup round. Not only, Lebowitz, are they adding a layup round snore to the dunk contest. This is like, were you the one who said you wanted to see the bunting competition?
I was just gonna mention Derby? It was the Korean baseball league.
Okay, so you'll love this. Yeah. You'll love it. Here, this is from J.E. Skeets. He's the co-host of the Athletic NBA podcast. The NBA is changing the format to this season's dunk contest by adding a layup round. Boo. The additional shot will be a finger roll, fundamentals, yay, attempted from a spot called the AT&T zone and will be taken with a special gray ball shaped like a cell phone. First off, if it's a ball shaped like a cell phone, it's not shaped like a cell phone. It's shaped like a ball. Okay, that's second of all, I get that you want to milk as much money out of this you can and you want the marketing deal. Fine, cool, whatever. Why does it have to be a layup? Why does it have to be a layup? It's the same with the Home Run Derby. Our childhood, they were such golden events, and they suck now because they've been tailored for social media and they've been tailored for the 5 second clip, and just they blow. Dunk contest. I might not watch this year. I might not watch.
Do they incentivize it yet? I don't even know. Do they add money to the pot? Like, because you
I
need
think
to.
So, but not that much.
Yeah, and even if it's a
Dwight Howard's back in it this year.
He's back in it.
Dwight Howard, Pat Connaughton, Aaron Gordon, Derek Jones Jr.
Pat Connaughton, St. John's prep guy.
That's right. But, like, I don't want to watch Dwight Howard take a layup. It doesn't do it for me.
But he's doing the dunks as well. They're doing both, right?
I know he is, but so... Yeah. So all right, he's going to finger roll a phone from a spot on the floor. Like, if that's taking away a dunk, I'd rather see the dunk.
I think you're going to see, like, more of, like, the MJ-style baseline reverse layup thing. Like, that sort of thing. You know what I'm talking about?
It's still not as cool. It's still not as cool.
Well, here's the one good thing about it. They're going to be in the air for a longer amount of time, so the possibility to do more intricate things is you know, it expands. So you might get some cool gems, but yeah, it's not, people aren't going to be tuning into that over the slam dunk competition. I do think we will return to like the slam dunk glory days though. I think it will come back. I think you'll get players that are going to start wanting to do it, whether it's this upcoming generation or the next. You just need a group of guys that's, you know, that all kind of has that common bond and is like, you know what, screw it. Let's do it. It'll be fun. But no one wants to take that risk, whether it's for, you know, risk of embarrassing yourself or injury. It needs to come back. But I think All-Star Weekend in pretty much any sport is a waste. The only sport, as we mentioned a couple weeks ago, that does it semi-right is hockey. I love the hockey All-Star Weekend compared to, you know, what the MLB, NFL, and NBA do. But this edition, yeah, it doesn't do anything substantial to really make it more alluring for me.
All right, a couple final thoughts here. First off, Leibowitz, some 90s nostalgia. Dunkaroos are coming back, which it's about damn time. Those were my favorite snack as a kid. No idea where they got rid of them. They go for like $100 a container, little containers on eBay. That's just a huge win for all of us. Like, you talk about, you know, we've had a rough go of it the last couple of years just as a civilization, as humanity. This is a huge, much needed win for us. We deserved this. We earned this and we deserved this.
You're all about the nostalgia today. Dad Rock, slam dunk competition.
I'm a very nostalgic
Dunkaroos. We all are. And it's great. It's always great. It's good for the search engine optimization. But yeah, I do like the Dunkaroos. I wasn't a big Dunkaroos guy. My parents didn't love me, so that was not in my lunchbox growing up. I was more of a snack pack kid. But the Dunkaroos were always great. It was a great bargaining tool, a bargaining chip. If you were trying to make moves in the cafeteria back
never,
in elementary school.
That's untouchable for me. I would never trade away Dunkaroos.
No, I would trade for it. You know, usually banana and snack pack or banana chips and snack pack, depending on the mood. I don't have much.
For idiots then you were trading with.
Well, I'm not I don't have much of a sweet tooth, so it's not like I was making that deal routinely. But this is great. This is great. We need to bring in more unhealthy foods. We've gotten too over the top with the health consciousness. So let's get some fat kids out there.
And actually, you know, to pile on the nostalgia, the other final thought I have, the XFL comes back Saturday.
Oh, baby. Yeah. It's
football
XFL
season is not over.
It never ends.
Who are you rooting for?
I don't even know who's playing. I have no idea.
We got to get your team. We got to get your team. I think I'm going Houston Roughnecks. I think
the Roughnecks. I'm going to pick a random name. Okay. And then I'll pick whatever name I like the most and I'll root for them. But I really don't have a lot of confidence that this league will last beyond a year.
It'll last like 6 weeks, but it's going to be a fun 6 weeks. All right, here we go. You're going to pick your team right now on the air. We're going to make this happen.
Okay, let me look it up.
I'll read them to you. You don't want the cities, right?
Read them to me so it'll be a blind test.
But you don't want the cities.
Leave the cities out of it.
Do you want me to skip New York?
No. Put them all in.
You root for New York team.
If I like the name enough, sure.
All right, I'm not too worried about it because it's kind of a bum name. Most of these are pretty bad, to be honest. But, all right. We got the Renegades.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on, I'll give you their colors too. The Renegades, it's like a light blue and black.
Okay.
The Roughnecks, which is red, blue, and silver.
Uh-huh.
The Wildcats, which is black, red, and orange.
Yuck.
The Dragons, which is like dark, dark blue, dark green, and orange. The Defenders, who are red and white. The Guardians, who are black, silver, and red. The Battle Hawks, who are light blue, ooh, dark blue, and silver. And the Vipers, who are lime green, gold, and white.
So I'm between Battle Hawks and Vipers. I like both of those names
those
a lot.
Those are the two worst ones. Are you serious?
Battle Hawks? That's
badass. Dragons is a pretty bad name. Those are two. Battle Hawks is such a stupid name.
Battlehawks. Vipers, you don't like the Vipers? Reminds me of Dodgeball.
So what you can't that? See it. The name's not bad. Their logo sucks.
Okay, the logos. Vipers, wasn't that the name? What was the name of
Purple Cobras.
The Cobras, yeah, it was a Cobras name. I like the Battlehawks. I don't know why. I don't think any of the names are that great.
They're not. They're really all pretty bad.
I'm going to go the Battlehawks.
All right, St. Louis.
St. Louis Battlehawks. You're my team. Congratulations. You just picked up a new fan.
There you go.
I do have a final thought, by the way. This is kind of breaking news.
If you have any final thoughts.
This is breaking news. Because I didn't have anything before you brought up this segment, but I just saw this cross over my timeline, like within the last half hour. Headline from the New York Post, billionaire Steve Cohen's bid to buy the Mets is on life support.
Love it.
Which is, I mean, is there a more Mets story than them finally getting rid of the Wilpons and it just crumbling at the last second directly after you lose your manager, Carlos Beltran, before he even manages one game? What a horrendous offseason for a team that is used to horrendous offseasons. This is just, it's too perfect. It's too perfect. I don't even feel bad for them. I'm impressed. I think this just comes with the territory of being a New York Mets fan. And if you actually thought that this was going to work out as a Mets fan, you got to be naive at this point. The amount of heartbreak you've had, this is just, it's too good. It is too good of a story.
You know what's next?
What's next?
James Dolan's going to buy the Mets.
Oh.
I'm not kidding.
You bite your tongue.
I'm not kidding. Just that would watch. Be James Dolan is going to buy the Mets.
Oh my God, that would be incredible. He might get assassinated if that happens. Like he might get like there are so many people who blame him for their horrible childhoods that if he were to take another team that they loved. Like well, they
how
would,
does, wait, how does it work again? In your, are Mets fans Knicks fans?
No, so the Nets Jims, Jets, Islanders, Mets, and then the Knicks are the only basketball team. The Nets don't count.
Jets. So Mets fans are Knicks fans.
Yes. Yeah. They don't have any other team.
They're the Nets.
Yeah, but they were in New Jersey.
Yeah, but still.
I think. So it's just so the person I go off of is Dan Butik. We both know. And he's a Jim. He calls himself a Jim for life.
Is he gonna cry for the rest of the night if I tweet about James Dolan buying the Mets?
He'll be actually genuinely upset if you do tweet that.
I think I'm going to do it, but
why you gotta put that in the universe? He'll think it's bad dude.
I really want to.
Do it.
I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it as soon as we get off of here.
You better. I'll retweet it.
This is great. The Wilpons are very bad at owning the Mets and not owning the Mets. All right. We don't need to read tweets back and forth to each other on the air, but this is outstanding. Good final thought. Mets fans absolutely deserve that. Great, great episode there, Lebowitz, post-Super Bowl episode. We'll be back with another show. We might, if the Celtics make a splash Thursday, maybe we come in with another show this week. If not, we'll definitely be back next week. Got to talk XFL week one, of course.
Of course.
And Mookie Betts is going to get traded actually tonight now that we recorded this episode.
I think it will. There's a high probability that it happens this week.
I think tonight. Well, the report yesterday was he was going to get traded today and tomorrow, and today is now yesterday, and tomorrow is now today. So
let's see what goes with him as along with what comes in return.
I'm actually okay with the Dodgers move with Verdugo or whatever that kid's name, even though there's a video on YouTube of him like behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. He's like the worst person.
Yeah.
He is such like take every negative stereotype about a baseball player and combine it with every negative stereotype about a frat guy.
Well, maybe, you know, maybe it works out. Maybe he can turn into a player like Mookie Betts one day.
He's a really good baseball player, but he's going to struggle with the East Coast. He just is. I'll send you the link. You'll laugh.
All right.
So we'll be back with another show at some point soon. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at Calling It Podcast and check us out on clnsmedia.com under the podcast tab. For Alex Lebowitz, I'm Alex Barth. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time.